Good morning. Claire, you've never seen this congregation from up here, have you? This doesn't look like our usual congregation. Oh, that's because we were always in Guatemala. You don't look like Guatemalans. Is there anybody Guatemalan here? No. I was thinking of a preacher that I was with in a conference one time, and he was very nervous as he stood up, and he was ministering to people in the jail. And he was nervous, and he got up, and he said much the same thing that I just said, and he said, "Would you people all, if you don't mind, would you all put your hands out like this and then clench your fists like this?" He said, "Oh, I feel a lot better now. This is the way I see the people I minister to in jail." So you're going to have to make me feel good. I want you all to say, "Buenos dias." Buenos dias. Oh, man, you say it better. You say it better than I do. That's great. Well, it's a real pleasure to be in this church. This is a church that I've heard about all my life. And I've heard all kinds of things that happened in Oregon. And I came out here in the Navy and I stole my wife, see. And I took her back to Kansas. And then she kept talking about Oregon. So I took her to Guatemala. Well, maybe that'll get her out of the habit of talking. So anyway, that didn't work. We spent 40 years there. And she says, "Hey, why don't we go back out to Oregon?" So here we are. And we're delighted to be with you all in this church. And we don't know a lot of you in this service because we do go to the second service mostly. But if you want to, you know, get together, we'll get together and kind of figure out who we want to be able to communicate with in this service and be able to get to know you. And we want God to bless you. And so that's our goal. Thank you to Pastor Bill and the elders and everybody that decided who was going to be filling in for a few weeks. It's a real privilege for me to be able to do this. And I hope that something we can say today might be an encouragement to you. They decided that they needed to fill in a few spots, and I was looking at the list, and they gave me, wait for it, 4 verses. I thought, "Why? How hard could this be? Well, you know, 4 verses." So I thought, "Man, well, I better read these. Maybe they're really long verses." And so I read the verses. Looked at my watch, and I said, "Well, there's 28 seconds right there." I thought maybe I could read them a little bit slower. And so I read them, and 38 seconds. This is not going to work. I'm going to have to read them in the right way. I'm going to have to read them for content and understanding, and I'll have to seek God's guidance and let God lead me in the things that he wants me to say. And so I'm glad that I can be here today. I'm glad that there's a few things that I've learned that maybe I can share. And you may not agree with all the things I've learned, and that's okay too. We're still going to be friends, right? There's about a third of the people that's going to be my friends. So we want to understand what God's Word says. And everybody that you've had up here previously helping Pastor Bill in this time, they've all done a wonderful job. We know that 2 or 3 of them were, we had to watch after we got back from Guatemala on the video, so we didn't get to hear it down there. So anyway, everybody's done a wonderful job, and we just thank you for being here. Thank you for getting here on time. How many got here actually late? No. Oh, a couple of honest people back there in the back. That's great. That's great. Let's pray this morning and seek God's guidance in what we're going to do. Father, we love you. We adore you and we worship you. We know that you're responsible for every good and perfect thing that we've seen in our lives. We know that you've loved us from the time that you even thought about us. Thank you, dear Lord, for being there for us. Thank you for guiding us and everything. Thank you for Wood Village Baptist Church. And I pray that you'll bless it enormously. Take care to keep our doctrine solid and sound, Help us to do the right things to win people to Christ. Help keep all of the wickedness out of our hearts that might destroy anything we might want to do. We know, Lord, that we're so susceptible to the devil's wiles, and we just pray that you will guide us, direct us, and be with us in every single way. In Christ's name. I probably should tell you one more thing about Claire. I said that I stole her. I didn't really steal her. I actually asked permission. And just before I start the message here, Claire wanted me to meet her parents. And so I thought, well, that would be a good idea. And her dad was starting a church around the John Day Dam area in a place called Rufus. And some of you know Rufus. And so we went out there and got to sit down for the very first time with Claire's dad and mom. And they lived in a single wide trailer house. And the kids had grown up there, or not grown up there, they'd been there for several years. So I got to sit at the table. And it was kind of funny because they wanted me to sit here. And then they wanted my future father-in-law to sit here, and then Claire there. Thought, don't even get to sit by Claire. What's this about? And so, anyway, I humbly ask for her hand in marriage. You know how that goes. Well, maybe some of you don't, but that's the way it went for me. And I asked for her hand, and he was looking at me, and then he looked at Claire. He says, "What if I say no?" Claire said, very respectfully, she says, "Daddy, I'm 18 years old, and I can marry who I want." So that's how we got started. I will tell you that I looked at my future father-in-law's face, and he giggled, and he smiled. And so I remember that for years and years and years. I've worked with him, been around him. He's helped me. He's mentored me. And he's a wonderful guy. Colossians 3:1. Read the scripture to you. It says, once give you a chance to get there, Colossians 3:1, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." One of the first things I had to admit is when I read that, it's got a little phrase up there at the beginning. It says, "since then." And my first question is, since when? And I didn't know what he was talking about. Well, I actually did because I'd read the other chapter before. But anyway, we go back to chapter 2, and it kind of tells us when. And so if you go to Colossians 2, and that's just one chapter back into verse 12, and it's going to tell you why. It says that, "having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." We're talking about Jesus being buried, dead, and risen. And he's going to explain to us in just the next few minutes, he's going to explain to us how that we are buried with him. And we will be resurrected with him. You're like, how does he do that? I mean, that's so wonderful, so marvelous, and yet it's hard to understand because we think of death in terms of physical death. We all know people who have died physically. We all know people that maybe are family members who have died. We may know people who have others that have died when they were maybe in just newborn. Death comes to our lives, and we've got to understand what it's all about. And so I was thinking about most adults have experienced this, and I thought, well, when did I experience this? And then I remembered that I was like 12 years old. My mom was crying. And my dad came up, and he grabbed my arm, and he says, "Larry, let's go down to the basement." And I thought, what in the world have I done? My mom's crying, and I'm going to the basement. Went down there, and he says, "Son," he says, "your mom's crying because her daddy died, and that's your grandpa." you know, in Kansas City? Yeah, I know. And so I started to cry. It wasn't but maybe a year or two later that my mother was expecting a child. We were all excited about having another brother or sister in the house. Of course, back then, we didn't know what it was going to be, right? Well, yeah, we had this little ball that we put up there and waved over their tummy, you know. I think it's going to be a boy. Well, we were all excited. My dad woke me up one morning and he said, son, he said, I took your mom to the hospital. And the baby was born, but the baby was born dead. I said, how? What? I've never heard of such a thing, born dead? And that was the emotions that I was feeling in those times. And so, I don't know. You can think in your own life what you've gone through. And I know that Claire, and I was just thinking about this when I was working on this. I was thinking, my wife Claire did not even get to go to her mother's funeral because we were missionaries. We didn't have the money so that she could go to the funeral. And when I think about that, it makes me sad. But that does explain to us what death is. That's the way we understand death. I'll tell you one more example. Claire and I were on our way to Guatemala and stopped by Wichita, Kansas. And we used to go to that church in the early 70s. We had lots of friends there and some people that aren't real close friends, but we've known them for years. And so we went there. And I saw my friend Mickey. He was sitting in like the middle of this aisle right here, and he's in a wheelchair. Last time I saw him, he had a cane and he was in a walker. I had a walker, but this time he's in a wheelchair. And I said, "Mickey, how you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm doing just fine. But did you hear that I died?" I said, "Beg your pardon?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "I died." I said, "Well, what happened? I don't understand." And he said, "Well, I was in this home and I had pneumonia, and so they took me to the hospital. And my wife was with me, and I just don't remember much after that. But they said that the doctor came in, put his stethoscope on me, and listened to me, and then he said, 'He's gone.'" And then he started chuckling. Obviously, he wasn't gone completely because I was talking to him, right? And so he said, I was there and I died, and my wife Diane, she must really love me. Because she said, "Well, do something. Get him, resuscitate him, do something." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And they did, and they brought him back. And he's struggling, but he's always got that smile, and he's always got that love for God. And he knows where he's going. He didn't come back and say, "Boy, I really dodged a bullet there." No, he didn't say that. He thought it was funny. And I know some of you may say, "Well, we shouldn't be making fun of things about death, because death is serious." And you're right. Death is serious. And the death that we're talking about today, we're going to be talking about, is the death of Christ, who died because he wanted to, because he loved us. And that's what we'll be talking about. Well, that's where Mickey's mind was. When we identify with Christ in his death, I'm going to read verse 2 now of Colossians 3, verse 2. It says, "Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things." I would submit to you that that's what Mickey was doing. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen or what did happen or anything like that. To him, to be heart not working and then coming back, he thought that was funny, because he knows that one day his heart will stop and it won't come back and he'll be with the Lord. And that's the kind of guy Mickey was. I knew him back when he was just kind of new in the church. And Mickey was a guy that experienced some of the pitfalls of youth, and he had some bad habits, and but then he'd accepted the Lord, and he changed completely. And he was like, you know, guys that accept the Lord, or maybe guys that join a club or something, they're just kind of sort of in. Mickey was all in. And I think that's the reason that he can look at death and he can smile and he can say, this is not a big thing because I know who's on the other side of all of this. So that's where Mickey's mind was. And one of the verses in the Bible, or the passage in the Bible I really like, is Philippians 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, we're talking about in Colossians, it says he wants us to set our minds on things above. And here it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look at this a little closer. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, just an ordinary human being. And he took upon the form of a servant. Didn't have a red robe or he didn't have a crown on his head. But he was made in the likeness of men. He would not be distinguished among any of us. He would look the same. Obviously, the way we dress today isn't the way they dressed back then. But if he was here today, he would probably just look like one of you or I. It says, being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. We've said that verse, we've quoted that verse, we said it so many times that maybe it becomes a little bit redundant. We think, well, the death of the cross, and well, yeah, Christ gave his life, and we say, well, we've heard this over and over and over again. You know why we've heard it over and over again? Because it's so important. We got to get the message out. And we want people to hear it over and over again. We want you to realize that this is something that God planned from eternity. And he's completed it here on earth. And he's looking forward to taking all of us home with him one day. One last word of explanation. Though we are physically alive in this earth, when we get to the age of accountability, we are spiritually dead. Does that make sense? So, somebody's born, they come, they hear, they understand, and then they are spiritually dead until they choose to identify with Christ. It's a choice. We have to choose to identify with Christ. He doesn't come along and pick us up by the nape of the collar and drag us around and do anything like that. He just says, hey, don't you want to be a part of this? I can't imagine what it was like when he had all the disciples, all these fishermen, rugged men and everything. And says, hey, you like what's going on here? Follow me. Follow me. Well, that's what he's saying today. He's saying, us, just to follow him. You may, just to kind of explain all of this in kind of one little example, you may be a fan of a certain sports team. You may have the hat. You may have the jersey and the colors. But everybody that looks at you, they know you're not a player. You don't belong to that group. Those other guys are throwing the touchdowns. Those other guys are making the baskets. It's not you. You wear those colors. And when it comes to Christ in our lives, and he wants us to be buried with him, and he wants us to be risen with him, it's not because we're a player and we've done anything. We have done absolutely nothing to merit being on Jesus' team. But he loved us so much, and he says, hey, you be part of my team. I love you. I want to save you. I want to provide for you. Well, back to the verses. We're going to go back here to verse 1 again. So I'm looking at two different things. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I think when we talk about our heart, we're talking about love and affection, because that's where we think that, I don't know physically, I don't know if that's true where we love from, but our innermost being, we love, and we can love God from that innermost being, that heart that we have. And so what's the difference between the heart and the mind? Well, the reason I ask you that question is because in the second verse, it says, set your minds on things above and not earthly things. Why did it say set your hearts on things above, just like it said in verse 1? So in verse 1 it says, and this is the NIV, it says your heart in verse 1, and it says your minds in verse 3. I think one of the reasons is that we figure that we have our intellect in our minds. And we can, when we think about things on this earth, sometimes we think about them intellectually. We think about maybe what job we're going to get and how we're going to pay our bills. And we think about our budget, and we think about the car we're going to drive, and we think about the house we're going to have to live in. And those are the kind of things that we think with our minds. And so, Larry, are you saying that's bad? No, it's absolutely good. It's absolutely necessary. But he's saying in these verses, I don't want you to set your minds on things that are bad, that would be bad for you, things that would be sinning against God. And how many young people get involved in drugs and different things like that and during their young years. And some of them are able to come out of that. Some of them are able to take their minds and refocus on things of God, and some of them are not. And so we need to be careful that we teach our people to set their minds on things of Christ and things of love. What happens if somebody gets a little bit older? Can't expect all us young people, you know, us guys that are 30, 40, 50 years old, can't expect all of us to be thinking about going to heaven all the time, can you? No, you don't have to think about that. You need to be aware of it. You need to know that that's your destiny if you know Christ. You need to be aware of that. But I think if we set our minds on heavenly things and we're a young person, I think that that would maybe mean that we would be trying to enlist other people with Christ, tell other people about Christ. I think maybe we would want to make sure that our testimony and the way that we live and the things that we do would be honoring to Christ too, don't you think? And so these things, as a person that's maybe not thinking, well, I'm going to heaven next month or next year, I'm old, but you wouldn't be thinking about that, but you would be thinking about, oh, I've got things that I can do while I'm still here. In fact, if you're old, you don't know how long you're going to have, so you just keep doing and doing, and God's going to use you while you're here. And so, set your minds, your reason on things above, not on earthly things. This also verse says also that we should set our minds on things above, just like the very first verse. So, can we think of our daily needs and all those kind of things? Yes, we can. But if we go to verse 3, we've got something else to think about. Can you see verse 3 there in your Bibles? It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Are we dead? Are we dead? Physically, we're not. But if we are dead in our sins, then that means that we've got something yet to do yet. We need to call upon Christ. He says that in that verse there, that I think it says in this verse, and you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. So we are just as if we were dead spiritually, and all of our sins are hidden in Christ. How many of you want that? Or maybe I should ask it the other way. How many of you want to put out a list of things that you've done that you don't want anybody to know about? No, you wouldn't put out that list, would you? I am so glad that even though there is a list, God's hidden that list, and he doesn't have to show that to anybody. I think this is a reference of particularly forgiven sins. That's his list. And those sins are gone, and they've been confessed to us by us and forgiven by God. So let me repeat Colossians 2:13 again. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him." How? "Having forgiven all of your sins." Ask yourself, have I had all my sins forgiven? If you've asked God to forgive you, those sins are forgiven. But if you weren't sure, you need to think about whether you could make that a decision one day soon. In Colossians 3:4, this is actually our last verse. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You all have read that verse before, right? Does that excite you, or it's just, we'll be with glory, in glory with God. It's just, what does that do to us? I mean, emotionally. Wow. Can you imagine? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, you watch TV. Well, maybe you don't. If you don't, that's good. But I've watched TV, and I've seen some of these shows where people, they're getting all kinds of praise. What's that one, Claire, where I wanted to say American Idol, but that's not it. It's a singing program where everybody sings, and then they get to choose, huh? Okay, maybe The Voice. And so when that's all done, and the people just, they stand up and they clap, and they won't even sit down, and they bring him up, and they pat him, and they shake hands with him, and everything, and it's so wonderful. We're going to be with the King of Kings. We're not going to be with, some guy on The Voice. But that would be exciting. In fact, I was remembering that a few years ago, Claire and I and our daughter Felice were heading back from Guatemala City to the Eagle's Nest, which is our ministry post. And we were heading back, and a few days before, I don't remember how long before, we had scheduled to give the facilities to one of the presidential candidates in Guatemala. And he wanted to come out, and he wanted to have a town hall meeting type thing. And he wanted to promote his books. So he was going to be signing books. And so we said, sure, come out. But we were coming back from Guatemala City, and they called and said, hey, this guy's here already. You need to hurry up. You need to get back. Well, I'm not real hip on all those kind of reunion type things. I don't get too excited about campaigns, but we got back, and so I went up to my apartment, and Claire went with Felice, and went to get Felice's husband, and they all went up to where the candidate was. And there were just, the cars were just packed in there, six or seven deep, nobody could move, and they went up, and they had this, Claire, I wasn't there, and I don't know if I asked you, was it in the salon or was it outside? Okay, so our salon only handles about 250 people, and they probably had many more than that in there. But Claire went up there, and somebody invited her to come up and introduce her. She's the founder of Eagle's Nest, and then her daughter and her husband, they're the directors of the Eagle's Nest and everything. And so they were presented with signed copies of this candidate's book. That's pretty cool. You think that was cool, Claire, still? Oh, yeah. She said, oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of fun to be recognized sometime, isn't it? So, anyway, they did that, and I was thinking about it later. And one of the things I was thinking about is the fact that that guy lost the race. Too bad. And the other thing was that Claire gave me his book. And I thought, well, I'm going to read his book. I read about two chapters of it, and I was, I'm not going to read this thing. Dude, this is crazy. And so I decided not to read it, and I just put it down. But then there was something else that happened. I got to thinking, not only did he have a book, and I wasn't interested in it, but today, I don't even remember his name. He was a presidential contender. I imagine if you people thought about politics now, you can think of people who were contenders in the past too, and maybe you don't remember their name, or maybe you do, but I can't remember this guy's name. He was a guest at our camp and all of that. I can't remember his name. There is a name, however, that I do know, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is my Savior, my personal Savior, because I chose him and he chose me. And I love him and I thank him for what he's done. And he's got a lot of different names. I can remember some of the names that Jesus had, that God had. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm not going to forget that. Oh, by the way, he's written a book. And I have read that book. And I'm going to need to read it a few more times because it's beneficial to me every time I read it. And so he's the lily of the valley. And what does the song say? After the bright and shining star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I'm not going to forget Jesus' name. And I will tell you this, that he's not going to forget your name. He wants you and he loves you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some men count slowness. Instead, he's patient with you and not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone come to repentance. That's the reason God's here. That's the reason Christ came. That's the reason we're preaching in this sanctuary this morning. That's the reason churches all over the United States and all over the world are preaching the gospel of Christ, because he wants everybody to be saved. If you're sure that you're saved, praise the Lord. If you're not, I would say just think about making a prayer to the Lord now or later, and just say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not a good person, but I just pray that you forgive me, and I'd ask you to come into my heart and into my life. And then he says, whosoever shall call on my name shall be saved, in Acts 2:21. I don't know how you're feeling today, but I'm feeling that I am so fortunate to know God. I am so fortunate to have been called by him. And as we all know, it wasn't anything I did, it wasn't anything you did. But God looked at you. Now, you guys have all looked at yourself in the mirror, you know. Maybe some of you are a prize, but a lot of us aren't a prize, you know. But God looked at us and he said, these people are a prize. I want these people. I love these people. He gave everything for us. Heavenly Father, we started out telling you how much we love you and we adore you and we praise you. And we want to continue to do that. We want our lives to reflect what you've done in our hearts and our lives. We want our lives to reflect who you are. We want people to be able to look at us and say, I want what that person has. And when they ask us, we can say, what I have is Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to live lives that will also be honoring to you. Thank you for this church and the opportunity to speak to these people, put your arms around them, love them, take care of their needs, provide everything for the people that are sitting right in front of me today. In Christ's name, amen.